In this episode of the Raised with Jesus podcast, we have our sermon from June 7th, 2020, Holy Trinity Sunday. Here goes.
Dear fellow redeemed, we consider briefly God's words from the end of Matthew chapter 28. Those words, commonly referred to as the Great Commission, one of four Great Commissions, because all four gospel writers include one. And as we get started today, first of all, it's really nice to see some faces in here. Good to see all of you. I'm wearing a mask because I'm the one who's talking loudly in here at the moment. As we begin, perhaps there was that phrase in the Athanasian Creed, and it came up like three times. And it kind of caught your ear, like, wait a second. What is it with this Athanasian Creed thing? What is it with this Athanasian Creed? Whoever wants to be saved must above all else hold to the true Christian faith. Whoever does not keep this faith pure in all points will certainly perish forever. And especially that last part that we just finished right before our hymn. At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life, but those who have done evil will go into eternal fire. This is the true Christian faith. Amen. Thanks be to God. And you hear that, and you say that, and it's like, I don't know how comfortable I am with that. Maybe that was just you. Maybe that was just me. But you say that, and you think to yourself, as a Lutheran, as a person who reads my Bible, I have this understanding that what I do does not earn me heaven, does not get me into heaven. That what I do isn't what matters, but what Jesus has done, that is what matters. And what Jesus has been done has been made mine in holy baptism and in holy communion, has been made mine again in the preaching of the word. Plain and simple, it's done, right? So why do we have this statement at the end of time? All people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds. Those who have done good will go to eternal life. Those who have done evil will go into eternal fire. This is the true Christian faith. And it dovetails absolutely perfectly with the words of Jesus at the end of Matthew chapter 28. Those words that we use as basically our baptismal formula. Go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you hear that, and you read that, and you don't see anything about what we do or what we leave undone. You don't see anything that talks about the accountability of all flesh before the Son of God when he comes again. Right? Because Jesus has called us to be his witnesses. He hasn't called us to be life coaches. He hasn't called you to be his lawyer, his attorney, to make his argument, to make his case, and to present and argue somebody into believing. He hasn't sent you to even bring about peace and equity in this world. He hasn't sent you to bring about world peace. He hasn't sent you even specifically to cure cancer. If that's your vocation, fantastic. If that's your occupation, wonderful. But he's called you to be his witness. You'll be my witnesses to the end of the earth, therefore go. And it doesn't really match up with what we see or what we think we see there in the Athanasian Creed. And it doesn't really match up with the way these last 3 months, 4 months have maybe felt. That the way it's felt over the last few months, it's just been like this Mondo curveball on life, where all the plans that you may have planned and all of the ideas that we had ever thought and dreamt have all of a sudden been relegated to the sidelines and crossed off the calendar and in place. In place, well, place your order online for pickup and schedule it for next week at Kroger or Walmart. In place, when you go into this particular store, you have to wear a mask. In place, instead of gathering here, we gather at home. And maybe that just makes you the tiniest bit uncomfortable. And it comes together with that statement from the Athanasian Creed. Whoever, at the end of time, all people will rise with their own body to answer for their personal deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life. Those who have done evil will go into eternal fire. And maybe you begin to understand it as, it's my job to be a witness for Jesus. It's my job to live as a witness for Jesus. And boy, oh boy, what a terrifying thought that if I don't, what then? If I don't live as a witness for Jesus in my community, within my family, if I do not live as a witness for Jesus in what I do and what I say, in my attitude toward others, then what will come of me when Jesus comes again? What will come of me when he comes to judge all people of all time, when he calls me before his judgment throne, and what will be his words to me? Because that part from the Athanasian Creed, it's correct. At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds. But the only way to understand it is this conundrum that is the difference between law and gospel. You see, God doesn't want us taking advantage of his grace and saying, well, Jesus has done it all, and so it's up to me to just sit back and kick my feet up and wait for him to return. And that our attitude isn't one of saying, well, Jesus has done it all, and so therefore, I'm off the hook. I have no responsibility here at all. And that sinful flesh would love that. The devil would love it, and he does indeed love it, when he can sow some discord, and when he can convince Christians to be obsessed with all the other far more minor details of life, especially minor when they are compared with the eternity of the afterlife. At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds. The Athanasian Creed concludes on that note to say, dear Christian, now that you know who this Jesus is and what this Jesus has done, don't just sit here with it, but speak of it. Encourage one another with this word from Jesus. It's like God hands you this this baseball bat, really, or this whip, to get the sinful flesh back in its place and to say, you know what? I've been set free. I've been given new life with Christ. And Jesus, my Lord, who has been raised from the dead, who has washed away my sin, this Jesus has called me into his service. And he's made it as simple as you could ever imagine. That he isn't saying you have to be able to recite all the books of the Bible backwards from Revelation to Genesis. He isn't saying that you have to be able to recite all the commandments from Luther's Small Catechism. He's not even saying that you have to understand the difference between the epistemological and ontological arguments in apologetics. I don't even know that right offhand. I'd have to look it up. But what he is saying is that what you know is this treasure that changes the world. What he is saying is that what you know about this Jesus, what you know about this Jesus, what you know about the Jesus who ascended into heaven and is present with his people today, is something that nobody else knows the same way you do. But it's something that everybody else needs, because when Jesus returns at the end of time, all people will rise with their own bodies to account for their own personal deeds. Those who have done good, those who have lived out as branches connected to the vine, those who have been brought into the faith and through whom our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has created that faith and done good things, because you realize that's how faith works, right? That their baptism, hearing the preaching of his word, Father and Son, send the Holy Spirit into your heart again. And it's not a wired connection, it's wireless, but it's not wordless. That those things we mentioned earlier, the knowing the word of God, backwards and forwards. That knowing the teaching, the basic handbook of the Christian faith, has value. Because it is those words, those powerful words, that the Holy Spirit wants to use to encourage your heart yesterday and today and tomorrow. It is those words that he wants to use to help you be his witness. You see, this statement here at the end of the Athanasian Creed about rising to account to Jesus for your personal deeds, it's the exact same thing as we have in, Matthew 23 or 24, the parable of the parable of the sheep and the goats, and Jesus separates them, the believers and the unbelievers. And then he talks to the believers and he says, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me a glass of water. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you came and helped me. And the believers in that parable, the believers respond by saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or in prison or in the hospital and needing visitation? And his response, whatever you did for the least of one of these of mine, you did for me. Connect that with our gospel lesson. His response is that your life as a Christian witness is connected to the lives of other people in our community and in our congregation, that your life as a Christian witness is something that Jesus is going to hold up at that judgment day, that last day, that first day of all eternity. And he's going to hold that up before all people of all time. And it's going to take a while because what's the rush? Because it's eternity by that point. He's going to hold up your life and even the little things that you did and say, do you see this? Do you see the wonderful things that the triune God accomplished through this person? The wonderful things of even something as a glass of cool water. The wonderful things of picking up the phone and sharing a word of encouragement. The wonderful thing of stopping by somebody's house and dropping off a little bit of food if they needed it, or a little letter in the mail. To the world, it doesn't look like much. The world says, come on, if you want to make a change, if you want to make a real change, then get out there. Make your sign and walk with it. Pick your cause and support it. The world says, if you want to make a change, then invest your money in finding a cure. And invest your time in supporting a change. And invest your heart and your life and your livelihood into making this world a better place for your children. And as a Christian, yeah, you can recognize the value in these things, especially done in line with the Word of God. Jesus doesn't discount making a difference and the one-on-one personal care. He doesn't discount doing things to ease the suffering of a sinful world, because he himself did that, raising the dead and healing the sick. But what matters to him is that the people he has set apart to be his own, that the people he has made to be his own, are people who see first and foremost, I am here as a witness. That I don't care, in one sense, I don't care if 2020 is the year of the ramping up apocalypse between Australia on fire and an epidemic or pandemic and murder bees and what is it, buffalo gnats and the Yosemite volcano, and you just fill in the blank, it sounds like bingo card, right? I don't care. Because what I do care about is even if there are riots down the streets of our city, and even if the government were to come in and destroy this building exactly as governments in other countries have done, even if that were the case, Jesus has something greater and better to do through you. That he set you apart as his own. Not for the merely temporal gain of alleviating pain and suffering, and not merely for the temporary gain of justice and equity, but for the eternal gain of one more soul. through you, through your words. Not to argue somebody into faith, because Lord knows it's easy enough to get into an argument, especially when we're all confined to our homes and a little bit stressed out, and all we can do is scroll social media and see the stupid things that the other people are doing. It's easy enough to get caught up in argumentation. But to be a witness to a world that needs witnesses, to act as Jesus to a world that doesn't know love, to speak as Jesus to a world that, yes, hates his words, but to speak these words of truth, these very words that will last for all eternity, even when all the books and manuscripts and scrolls have been destroyed, Jesus says that his words last forever. And you hold those words in your hands and in your hearts. So what shall we do? As we broke up the Athanasian Creed, normally it's about a 6-minute recitation when we're all standing. And today we got to sit. But we broke up the Athanasian Creed, and it concluded with those words. At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life, but those who have done evil will go into eternal fire. This is the true Christian faith. Whoever does not faithfully and firmly believe this cannot be saved. Wow. But what he's saying is this. You've got to start with what God has done for you, that he has made you his own. He has washed you in baptism. He has placed his words in your heart. He's given you a community of friends and family and neighbors, as we're going to look at in our small catechism selection in just a moment. He's given you a community and a congregation of people that, Lord willing, we will share the eternal worship service of heaven with. And he says, dear friend, out of all the hats that you wear, out of all the causes and the flags and the signs that you could take up, many of them very good, make sure that the first one is this little thing called being a witness. As he says in our gospel lesson, and you will be my witnesses to the nations. Therefore, as a result, go and make disciples by baptizing and by sharing the word of God. So what does that look like? Well, if it sounds a little foreign to you and it sounds a little uncomfortable outside your comfort zone, start with Facebook. Talk about share, click, done, okay. What's something a little bit more challenging? Have you spoken to your neighbor recently? Like your next door neighbor, and the people that live on either side of you. Have you spoken to them and say, you know what? We wave when we mow the lawn and that's about it. But I care about you. And once this all thing, you know, winds down, do you guys want to come over for dinner? Maybe we'll have some cookies on the back patio, cookies and Corona. That's my personal favorite right now. And not in a way that's disingenuous, as though you as a Christian are just doing these things to get into their good graces so that they decide they want to be a Christian too, because that's not it at all. Rather, you as a Christian, as a branch connected to the vine, that the good things that you do, the loving things that you do, are done to the glory of God, not with any other motive, any other ulterior motive at all. And the words that we use, we commit into God's hands. Now sure, if that person does want to subscribe to our podcast or come to our church, fine. And if they don't, fine. But as for me, in my household, we'll serve the Lord. We'll be his witnesses. Because that's who you are too. You've been set apart. You've been given the words. And you have this eternal perspective that the greatest good that you could accomplish yesterday or today or tomorrow is to remember or recite those words that Jesus has given to you. That he is the one who has sent you to be his witness. He has set you apart, he has made you his own, and that no matter what happens in the rest of 2020, no matter what happens in the rest of 2020, he has made you his own for all eternity. Amen.